go before the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our time together. Amen. And there's many, many times we come overloaded with burdens, cares, worries, fears, trouble, and we don't want to let those things hinder us from what God has for us. Because if they do, then everything we do today will be in vain. We don't want that, amen? So let's just go before the Lord in prayer and ask Him to be with us and help us focus. Father in heaven, Lord God, we come before You now. We thank You for Your grace upon our lives. We thank You, Father, that we can come and worship You and look into Your word without the fear of persecution. Father, we don't have to fear that. You know, other countries, they fear for their lives because of the word of God. But we're so thankful for the liberty that we have to open up the word of God. And Father, we ask and pray that You get a hold of our hearts through Your word, that we may get a hold of You in a more closer way. Father, we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 16. What I want to talk about this morning is about dealing with conflict God's way. Okay? Dealing with conflict God's way. Every person here will be faced with conflict in different kinds of relationships. Husband, wives, yeah? Brother, sister, friends, work, school. You have different kinds of relationships. Therefore, conflicts are going to come. We can't say that we never have conflict. That's not being real. That's not being genuine. Yeah? Married couples have conflict. That's why the Bible says, dwell with your wife according to what? Knowledge. Why is that? Because I'm learning. When I get married, I'm learning how to adjust my living with another person. I'm studying them and to see what they love and what they hate. I don't want to irritate them. But what tends to happen is conflict arises, and it's dealing with those conflicts when they come. I have to deal with them, okay? And I have to deal with them God's way. There's a big difference between dealing with them my way and how my heart feels, and dealing with them God's way, what's right. And have you heard the proverb of the world? Just go with your heart. Do what feels right. That's wrong, because my heart, the Bible says in Jeremiah, is what? Deceitful and wicked. Yeah? I can't go by my heart and my feeling, because my feeling changed, but the Word of God never changes. It's always the same. So that's why we need the Word of God to help us in our conflict, when we have conflict. One of the ways in which we have to be very careful is, look at verse 16. Verse 16, it says in Galatians 5, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to be walking in the Spirit? It means to be controlled by God. It means that God has a hold of my life and is controlling my ways, my decisions, listen, my actions and reaction. Because we're going to see, if we don't walk in the Spirit, what's going to happen? We're going to walk in the flesh. Can a Christian that is saved still act in a very fleshly way? Yes, when they're not walking in the Spirit. So let's have a look at some of the things over here that are fleshly. Have a look at look at verse 19. Okay? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. What are they? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Okay, here's the first word we're looking at in respect of dealing with conflict. Variance. What's that mean? That means to have contentions and debates. Okay? To always be debating. Debating. Contention. Now, there might be a contention, but I don't want to be contentious. Right? I don't want to be debating. I want to work out the problem. I don't want to be the problem. Amen? All right. What's the next one? Variance. Emulation. That's heated jealousy, envy, competitive spirit. I don't want that. Wrath, strife. That's the flesh. Wrath, strife, seditions. What's this? Divisions and disunity. You say, can I have these in my life? Absolutely. When you're walking in the flesh. As a matter of fact, let me say something. If you have these in your life, that's a good indication that you're not being controlled by God. Did you know that Christian people, church people, can come to church and sit in these pews and not be controlled by God? Did you know that? A lot of people, they come to church, but their heart is not right with God. And so that's not good. We have to make sure that our heart is right with God. We're walking in the Spirit, and we're not living in the flesh, because when that happens, guess what's going to happen when we have a conflict? We're going to have jealousy. We're going to have division. We're going to have wrath and contention, and we don't want that. And then, so we see that the flesh is not the way we want to deal with conflict. Amen? Because that never resolves anything. So how do we want to deal with conflict? By the Spirit of God. And I guarantee you, if we want to do things according to the Spirit of God, God will always take us to His Word. And that's what we're going to look at this week. How to deal conflict biblically. First of all, when you're in a conflict, now let's speak in the context of maybe husband and wife, okay? Because, you know, you understand that when you live in the same house, you're getting to know one another and so forth, you're going to have conflict, brothers, sisters. Let's speak in the context of family, church family, amen? Those that are close to us. Because they're very important relationships, aren't they? These relationships here, we can't afford to have disunity or dissolve, okay? So first of all, what you need to do when you come into a conflict is you have to research your heart versus refusing to consider your own action. Because when a conflict comes, when there's, and by the way, what is a conflict? When two people have differing opinion. Yeah? They might look at something in a different opinion, which causes a heated debate or contention. Therefore, I need to realize, hey, I might be the problem. But when you're in a debate, you're always looking at the other person. You're always studying what they're saying or how you're being treated. Sometimes you don't look at yourself, right? You're always looking at that person. So what we need to be careful is watch out and look at our own hearts. And so if that person's looking at their heart, and I'm looking at my heart, guess what's going to happen? We're going to be careful. If I'm pointing the finger and they're pointing the finger, it's going to be very hard to resolve a conflict. So first thing that you need to do is make sure that your heart is right and that you're dealing with it according to the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 21 and verse 2. Proverbs 21 verse 2. Bible says in Proverbs 21 verse 2. You there? Okay? Notice what it says. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the what? What is it? The hearts. The Lord pondereth the hearts. So it's good to do. It's good to say this: Lord, ponder my heart. See if they're, like David said in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and try my heart, and see if there be any what? Wicked way in me. Search me, O Lord. Try me. And that's what needs to take place when you're in a conflict. And so when the Lord ponders your heart, always be willing and ready to admit fault. You know why so many conflicts are not resolved? Because people are not willing to say, I've done wrong. Because what happens? Straight away, what do you want to do? Justify. Yeah, I did this because of that. And I said this because you did this. So sometimes we justify our reaction because of the behavior of the other person. Is that right? No, we can't do that. If we are guilty of something, we have to say, I'm guilty. We have to say, I'm wrong. And when we tell our children, when there's a conflict, by the way, we have 6 children, and they are, you want to know how many conflict there is every day? Oh, there's a lot of conflict. And so when they have a conflict, what we want to do is we want to make sure they make up, they restore, okay? They get right again. So we see what the problem is. Some of them have to apologize. This is what we tell them to do. Okay, now you say sorry for what you've done. Don't just say sorry. Sorry's not enough. You have to say sorry for what I've done. Sorry for screaming at you. Right? Because what's going on? You're realizing, you're acknowledging what you've done wrong. That's what you have to do. And then we tell them to say this: would you please forgive me? Would you please forgive me? Now let me just say this: the reason why so many conflicts don't get resolved is there's a lot of pride in people's heart, and they're not even willing to do that. And I'm saying this to you: if you're not willing to do that, then you're always going to have conflict, and you're going to destroy your relationships. Have a look at Proverbs chapter 28. I love the Proverbs. Another thing that takes place when you're in a conflict: not only justify your actions, but shifting blame. Shifting blame. Remember, if we go back all the way to the garden, go back all the way to the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned and God showed him, hey, you disobeyed me. Who did Adam blame? Eve. He said, oh, it's the woman that you gave me. She made me do it. Who did Eve blame? The devil. Don't forget this, Adam also blamed God. It's the woman you gave. He shifted the blame. And when you're in a conflict, you don't want to shift blame. You want to admit your faults. Okay? Have a look at Proverbs 28, look at verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not what? Shall not prosper. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. See when forgiveness comes? See when proper restoration comes? That's, by the way, with God. But we can use this principle for one another. Amen? I don't want to cover my sin by shifting the blame or justifying it. I want to admit my fault. I want to confess it, and I want to forsake it. I don't want to do that again. God, help me be better in my marriage. God, help me be better with how I treat my wife. God, be helping me by your grace. Yeah, that's what it means to forsake, asking God to help you, not repeat your actions again. Amen? Now, unwilling to reflect on your part is pride. It's just pride. And you know what the Proverbs say? Pride goeth before destruction. And you can count on it that if you're not willing to admit your fault, then destruction to that relationship is going to take place. That's what the Bible says. Humility needs to take place in solving any kind of relationships. Okay. Second of all, not only reflecting on my heart, but also we need to realize that there is a conflict and I need to deal with it. A lot of people don't want to deal with it, so they just what? They say, look, don't worry about it, let's just forget about it, and we'll just put it under the carpet. What's going to happen? What's going to happen if you put your problems and conflict under the carpet every time you have a problem with your spouse and you don't deal with it? What's going to happen eventually? It's not going to be flat, is it? The carpet's going to be warped. And so therefore you've got this big mountain right in front of your eyes, and one day it's going to, you're going to pop, or your spouse is going to pop. So guess what? I've had enough. And a lot of people have just their relationships are destroyed because they're not dealing with their conflict. You know, my background, I live in Australia, but my mum and dad, they're from Lebanon. And in our culture, divorce, even without Jesus, is a serious thing. They hate divorce. A lot of people don't like it in our culture because they're afraid what people will think of them. So they're more saving face. But in reality, when they're in home, they're like living like two divorced people. But they won't divorce because they're afraid of what people think. Did you know people can live in a marriage, but they're separated in their heart with one another? Say why? Because they're not dealing with their problems. They just put them under the carpet. And that is enough to put a wall between you and your spouse. And you don't want that. But you know what? People comfortably live like that, like it's normal. It's normal to have conflict, but it shouldn't be normal to put it under the carpet. Amen? I got a Bible verse for that one. Ephesians chapter 4. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 26. Ephesians 4, look at verse 26. What does it say there? Be ye, what is it? Are you with me? Ephesians 4, 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let me just stop it there. We'll finish the verse in a moment. Be ye angry. Oh, am I allowed to get angry? Yeah. Absolutely. Like I said, I've got six kids. When one of my kids hits or punches another, their brother, am I not going to get angry and firm? Don't do that. No. I'm going to get a smack. Go to your room. You don't touch people, don't hit people. It's wrong. It's wicked. Don't touch your brother. Leave your sister alone. I'm not going to say, oh, sweetheart, that's it. Just don't touch your brother. I'm not going to do that. That's silly. No, Bible says, be ye angry, but what? Sin not. Don't go overboard. Don't lose control. So I'm not saying to you that maybe sometimes in a relationship, you're right. And you have a right to be firm. Because maybe there's sin or there's something that's causing problems. But sometimes a person can go overboard. How do they go overboard? The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Look at the second part of that verse. And do not let the what? The sun go down upon your wrath. Deal with your problem. You know, me and my wife have made this verse a priority in our lives. Not that we always have problems, okay? We don't always have problems. But when they do come, we make sure we work it out before we go to sleep. And I guarantee you, if you apply this principle in your life, and you say, I am willing and ready to work it out before I sleep, then I guarantee you will change your marriage and your relationships. It will build you closer. You don't have to go to sleep with your back turned on your spouse. Amen? You can kiss them good night and go to bed. Why? Because you're dealing with your problems. How many people go to sleep angry? You know who you're hurting? You're hurting yourself. Isn't that true? You think that you're hurting the other person. In reality, you might be hurting them, but you're really hurting yourself. How many times people talk on the phone and they hang up the phone? I don't want to talk about it. Deed, deed, and you just try again. Oh, no. I don't want this. I just want to call. We need to work it out. I don't want to talk to you. Leave me alone. It's not good, is it? It's not good at all. I had two very good friends in the ministry. Very good friends in the ministry. There was a conflict. And we tried to work it out on the phone, three-way conversation, and they end up hanging the phone in my face. Coming down to, I live in Newcastle, and so 2-hour drive to Sydney Airport. So coming down to come over here and then go to Nepal, I call them. This is like 2 months after later. Let things settle. You know, they're not my wife. They're not in my ministry. They're not in my church. I can give them time, right? It's a different relationship. I call them to see maybe we can meet up in Sydney and work it out face to face and not on the phone. No response, no one called me back. Two of them. Who's really hurting? Me? No. I'm right with God. They're going to be hurting. Because they're holding grudges and bitterness. You understand that? If you don't understand that, And you didn't say, you know what? I want to resolve any conflict I have with anybody for God's glory and for the sake of this relationship. And I guarantee you, you'll have healthy, strong relationship and marriages. I guarantee you. Do it God's way, you'll never lose. You don't do it God's way, you'll lose. You'll be a loser. You won't be a winner. I guarantee you. Thirdly, resort to communication. Resort to communication. Same thing. Look at James chapter 1, verse 19. James 1, verse 19. James 1, look at verse 19. The Bible says there, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You've probably heard it before. Amen. God gave us how many ears? Two. And one mouth. Amen. So we can hear. For men, sometimes we struggle in this area. Ladies are better listeners than men. How many people agree with that? Ladies are better listeners than men. Amen? Ladies, you know, there's a wish in their heart. I wish you'd just listen to me. Just doesn't listen. Men, they want to always fix things. So if your wife tells you something, oh, you want to fix it straight away. But she doesn't want you to fix it. She just wants you to listen. Sometimes that's just what it is. Amen. She doesn't want you to fix anything. She doesn't want you to do anything. She just wants someone to talk to. Is that true? Absolutely. I mean, if you're long enough with your wife, you'll understand that most of the time she just wants to talk. And in a conflict, you have to be ready to listen to what the other person is saying or what they are trying to say. You say, why? Most relationships are broken because of miscommunication. Just miscommunication. That's all. And communicating and listening and talking can fix it like that. Think, oh, is that what you meant by that? I didn't know. Well, only if you'd listen, I could have told you. You see what I'm saying? What Bible verse is a good one for this? Proverbs 18. Have a look at Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he what? Heareth it. What is it to him? It is a folly and shame unto him. A folly and shame unto him. You know, jumping to conclusions is not good. You know, when someone jumps to conclusions, they overreact, it's not good. Assuming, assumption. You know, sometimes when someone says something, your mind is trying to pick at every word. And then you latch on to something that they said. And they, oh, see? And you're not listening to everything that person is saying, and you're taking their words out of context. That's not good. That's why it's important to and just listen. Because when that person's talking and they say something, then you're tempted to talk on top of them, and then they talk on top of you, and you talk on top of them, and it's just a mess. And you're not going to get anywhere. So what tends to happen? Forget about it. Don't worry about it. Done. You don't listen. And now you have a problem about the problem, about working it out. Yeah. Now there's another problem within the conflict, and the real problem is put away. And now the problem's with you because you're not listening. Do you see how the problem can get worse when we don't do it God's way? You understand that? I'm just saying, I'm sharing this with you because I want your relationships to go stronger. I want your marriages to be stronger. Your relationships in church to be stronger. Friendship stronger. And by the way, you're not responsible for the actions of the other person. But you are responsible for your own action. Always remember that. And by your testimony and the way you do things, that could be a blessing to your partner or to your friend or to whoever it is that you're trying to work out your differences with. Okay? Let's have a look at another one. James, if you go back to James chapter 1, have a look at this, verses 20. James chapter 1, verse 20. Communicating is the prime principle to dealing with every conflict that comes. The prime principle. James 1, verse 20 says this: the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, sometimes the silent treatment will never make a marriage work. It will never make any relationship work. The silent treatment, not speaking to people, may be a very good indication that you're playing the victim. When you don't want to deal with it, and you give the silent treatment, and you don't want to talk about it, that may be a very good indication that you're playing the victim. You're thinking that you're in the right, that person's in the wrong. Then if that's true, why don't you deal with it? Why don't you work it out? You see what I'm saying? The silent treatment will never, ever handle any conflict. By the way, never, ever communicate with body language. You know what body language is? Okay? You want to make the other person know that you're upset with them? Oh. You're not talking with your mouth, but you're making noises, you're slamming the cupboard, rolling your eyes. That's body language. The worst kind of communication. The worst kind. Never communicate like that, because it will only destroy your relationships. If you have any issue or concern with someone, let them know. Don't let them guess. Listen, I told my wife, I said, I'm not a mind reader. I can't read your mind. I can't read your mind. If I have done something to, you know, whatever, please tell me. I'm not God. I can't read your mind, and I don't want you. I want you to come up to me and tell me. And sometimes, every now and then, I will go to my wife and I'll tell her. I said, "Sweetheart, is everything okay? Have I neglected you? Is there anything wrong?" And she'll say, "No, it's all good." So every now and then I check in with her. But for the most part, I want her to tell me if I've done something wrong, right? I want her to tell me. I can't read her mind. Because if you don't tell the other person that there's something wrong, then you're going to have a conflict in your heart and they don't even know. How many conflicts people have and you don't even know? I had one person come to me. And they said, I need to ask for your forgiveness. I said, what for? She says, I've been bitter against you. I said, why? I didn't even know. And they carried this for 2-3 months. I said, why? What happened? He goes, oh, I remember one time you said to me, if you were to die now, do you know where you're going to go? And that was a Christian. And I said, brother, you know how many times I ask that question? I ask it to everybody. And me asking that question made him insecure. But look at this. Put bitterness in his heart. Now, I didn't even know. And so when I see him, I shake his hand and I give him a hug. Because in our church, you know, we're that way, okay? And he's got some conflict in his heart, and I don't know. So who's the one that's hurting themselves? Me or him? Him. For how long? Months. Anyway, I forgave him. I said, brother, I didn't even know. And by the way, I said, look, me asking you that question is because I love you, and I'm concerned for you. And I want to know for sure that if you die, you're going to be with the Lord. What's wrong with that? Is that a bad thing? No. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Amen? It's not a bad thing. Last one. What do you do in a conflict? Rest in the Lord versus raising the dead. What's that mean? Rest in the Lord means true forgiveness. Versus raising the dead. Proverbs 17, have a look. Now, when you work out a conflict and there's restoration, okay? Proverbs 17. Two people have a conflict. and they deal with it. This person says, I'm sorry, sweetheart. Would you, I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for that, I'm sorry for this. Would you please forgive me? And that person says, oh, I forgive you. I love you, of course. And the relationship's good again. Yeah? True forgiveness. Versus what? Raising the dead. Once you have resolved a conflict and it's dead and buried, don't bring it back up again. Never. That's it. It's fixed. It's done. It's in the past. It's buried. Don't raise the dead. Look at this. Proverbs 17, look at verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But, look at that conjunction. He that repeateth a matter, what happens? Separates. Very friends. There you go. There you go. You bring it up, isn't it forgiven? Hang on a minute. Why are you bringing this up again? I thought you forgave me. Did you really forgive him? True forgiveness is resting in the Lord. Can I say this to you? When you realize how much God has forgiven you, you'll be able to forgive others. Can I say this? When God forgives you, does he remind you of your sin? Does God remind you of your sin when God forgives you? No way. He doesn't bring back your past. Your past is done. By the way, guess who tries to bring back our past? The devil. Someone said if the devil tries to bring back your past and remind you of your past, just remind him of his future. I like that. That's good. Have a look at Psalm 103. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Look at verse 11. Psalm 103. Look at verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his what? Mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You see that? There was a little old lady, and they asked her, a Christian lady, old lady, and they asked her a question because she's very old. And they said, you've been living the Christian life for quite some time. What's your secret when the devil reminds you of your sin? You know what she tells him? She says, I'll just tell the devil to go to the east. And then they said, oh, what if the devil comes back to you again and tries to remind you of your sin? She tells him, oh, I'll just tell him to go to the west. And if he comes back again, go to the east. Go to the west. East, west. Listen, that's how far God has removed our sin from us. And so when we forgive somebody, we can't remind them of what they've done to us, because it's forgiven and it's done and it's buried and dead. And don't raise the dead, just leave it. Bringing up past conflicts will only open up healing wounds. That's all it will do, because every conflict has time to heal. And when you bring back the conflict, going to open it up again. It's not good, especially when you dealt with it God's way. True forgiveness has to come. And true forgiveness comes from where? The Lord. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Don't know how to forgive. You know why? Because they haven't been forgiven from the Lord. That's why. And I believe there's a parable regarding that. When Peter asked Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother when he sins against me in one day? Seven times? What did Jesus say? Seven times 70. Like an unlimited number. Isn't that right? Yeah. Ephesians 4, look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, verse 32, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, sometimes it's not about who's right and who's wrong and who's... You know, at the end of the day, if you love each other, who cares? I just want to fix it. Yeah, okay, truth needs to be there. But it's not about who, yeah, see, I got one on you. Gotcha, see? That's childish. We're all learning and growing. And if my spouse or my partner or... if they're struggling with something, I want them to grow. So if they offend me and they keep offending me, I'm going to keep forgiving them. It's not about who's right or wrong. It's about truth and love. That's how God treats us, by the way. How many times do we offend God every day? Every week we offend Him. And He lets us grow. We need to let people grow. It's not about right or wrong, who's first and best. And that's pride. It's about truth and love. Love and truth. That's what it's about. There were two couples. They were married couple. They fighting all the time. The husband was fed up with his wife. It's not a true story. I heard it from somebody. I don't know if it's a true story. But it's a story that got me thinking about truth from the Word of God. He had enough with her, and he finally took her to the pastor and said, I have enough with her. I want to divorce my wife. And the pastor doesn't agree with divorce, and he's trying to encourage him. He says, my dear brother, the Bible says that a man ought to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He goes, I can't love her like that. That's too high, too much. Can't. He said, okay, let's take it down to another level. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. He goes, that's still high. I can't. You don't understand the trouble she gives me. Always nagging, nagging, headache. Nothing's ever good enough. And then finally he said, you know what the Bible says? Love your enemies. If your wife has become like an enemy, you ought to still love her. And you made a bond to love her for better or for worse. And that covenant was before God. You know what it says in Matthew chapter 5? Last verse and we're done. Matthew chapter 5 and we're done. therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. What's that word there? First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You want to worship God? Make sure you're right with others. A lot of people don't worship God. God first. Are you right with your partner? Are you right with your husband? Are you right with your wife? Are you right with your brother or sister in the Lord? Are you right? Because that's what God looks at. May God help every one of us here this morning handle conflict God's way. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. To ask and pray that we would not be prideful people, but would be people that would be humble to do things your way, knowing that your way is best for your glory and for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name.